You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio, and it's time for Wellness Wednesday now, our regular feature on your physical and mental well-being. We bring it to you every Wednesday after 11 o'clock, and our focus today is on dementia. A little later on, we're going to be speaking to Dawn Thompson, our Alzheimer's Society of Ireland's dementia advisor for Donegal. They've got a brand new service for the county, and we'll be speaking to Dawn about how it might help you either now or perhaps into the future, and what services are offered and what supports are offered. And I spoke to Dawn a little earlier, so I know that hopefully it'll be a very informative conversation for you. Now, I'm joined on the programme by Mary Toland, who is a carer of husband Dermot, who has dementia. Good morning to you, Mary. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Good morning, Greg.
And how are you keeping, and how's Dermot?
We're keeping well. We're sort of getting there, as they say. Okay. We're both very early on this journey because Dermot's diagnosis was just a year ago.
So can you tell us about maybe the early indications, Mary, that you and Dermot began to spot?
Yeah. For Dermot, the early indications were language, glitches in his language. He would forget words, or in conversation, he would sort of lose the thread. Now, it's it was very easily confused with the symptoms of depression. So we were on that route of, you know, depression, anxiety, but Dermot felt there was more to it than that. And he would have been much more aware of what was happening than I was at the time. He would have been more noticing and would have been doing a bit of research. Getting that diagnosis was a bit of a journey. Mm. We actually had to do a lot of research because this all coincided with COVID. So, you know, we didn't know what it was. He wasn't presenting as having typical Alzheimer's. He has frontotemporal lobe Alzheimer's, which is slightly, it presents differently. So it was confusing for, you know, GPs and that to sort of call what it was, and then they can't diagnose. And in doing a lot of research on the internet, I discovered that a lot of stuff was coming up, was like the whole Donegal area was coming up as a blank for help or for services in your area. And I'm just reaching out everywhere. We went to Dublin to the memory clinic in James's.
But did you feel at that point before we start that you had no alternative, as you say, you know, when you paint a vivid image there of what seemed at the time this vacuum of services, this where do you go, who do you speak to, you know, it must have felt very lonely.
It did, yeah. Well, we were referred to Letterkenny, and Dermot had an MRI scan, but apparently this particular type of Alzheimer's doesn't get picked up. Mm. He obviously hadn't got vascular dementia.
And just at that time, Mary, were you told that that scan was inconclusive, or were you told it wasn't dementia? Because obviously
we were told that it wasn't dementia and to look at depression and anxiety. Because a lot of the symptoms were similar. And of course there was depression, of course there was anxiety, but both of us knew there was something underlying that.
Right, okay. So, that's a right gunk, though, to sort of been told that it's not something you fear, but eventually down the road you're going to find out that it was. Right, take us then to Dublin. Was this all stuff that you had to pursue yourself, by the way, to say, yeah, right, we believe there's something going on here, we're going to have to go to Dublin to pursue it further, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I did an awful lot of research online. And again, there's a lot of stuff that you come across. There's a whole quagmire of stuff that you think, oh, there's this, there's that, there's that. And then when you read to the bottom, you discover that the services aren't really there to support diagnosing and follow up. And James's seemed to be the only memory clinic with a full suite of services that go with it. So we went privately to James's and was diagnosed very quickly. It was all very quickly spotted. He had a PET scan there, and that's what, you know, clarified it. And again, the diagnosis came via blue eye on screen, you know. But in one way, it was devastating. And in another way, Dermot actually said it was relief to know. Mm. Because without a diagnosis and with vague symptoms, nobody can do anything. And you can't look for help and say, I think he has dementia, you know. You can't, unless you have an actual diagnosis. And anyone who's worried, I would say that would be your first port of call, is to try and get an actual diagnosis, because then you can start working from there.
Right. So how quickly is this progressing with Dermot?
It's progressing noticeably. You know, it stops and starts, and the language, that's, he was going to join me in this, but I think he would be embarrassed because he might start to say something and then stop midway.
I understand that, but he wouldn't need to be, but I understand that.
It's a very basic communication skill. We take so much for granted, these things that we do every day. So that was, now we did get fantastic advice from the consultant and James's, and again, it's basically his job was done in the diagnosing, but to contact the Alzheimer's Society, and they have been a lifeline. Mm. They just have kept us afloat. They immediately sent us out a pack with all sorts of information of how to deal with it, how to, you know, what to pursue, practical tips, and that helped us. And everything was in bite-sized pieces that we could take on board as we went through it. So it was presented very well. Found that very, very helpful. And then they did offer a course, a carer's course, and I did a 6-week carer course online.
Because of course, we're talking about Dermot, Mary, but you're with that diagnosis in advance, but with that blue screen diagnosis you referred to, your life changed at that moment. You also know that things are different for you now going forward.
Yes, it has put both of us on a different
track. And that
track.
Takes a bit of processing, doesn't it?
It does. It does take a lot of processing. There's a lot of things I've had to put to one side because, like, basically I'd say I'm a full-time carer, and a lot of things that I would have planned in my life or things I thought I would be doing, I've just have to shelve.
And in terms of helping Dermot to process this and helping you as well, are supports there for that? You know, does that form part of the support from the Alzheimer's Society? Or is that something that we need to work on? Because, you know, if you grew up with this, say you grew up with it, you know, it would be, you could learn to live with it and it'd be your normal and all this type of stuff. But, you know, Dermot's lived 70 years and then this has changed. You know, you're mature as well. This is like a change in direction almost immediately. Is there help for you and for him, you know, to support you through that mentally, I wonder?
Most of the help has been online help. Because of COVID, that has been a massive complication. But there had been a lack of anything on the ground in Donegal. And like, I would have been in despair looking at some of the HSE sites and sort of looking for services in my area, and things would come up with no results. And it was like, we're this blank bit on the map. And that's part of the reason that I'd agreed to do this interview too, is to just bring it out there and say there are people in need and we need services. And to have to go to Dublin for a diagnosis is a bit, you know, it's a bit much when you're already in a kind of crisis situation.
So yeah, just that journey, the parking, the getting into it, the where do we go, the unfamiliarity, the strange. I know it on the wider scale of things it might seem much, but it's a journey you would dread. You would be, you know, you'd be scarred by it almost, you know.
Well, it's an added stress when you're already stressed.
You talked of Dermot's difficulties with his speech, but he has another language, and that's the language of music. And that's a great benefit.
That has been the sort of the social outlet and the support. Like, his brother and his sister are both very involved in music, and Dermot always played with his brother. And that ability to accompany his brother playing is just, it's still there. Mm. So during COVID, we managed to keep a bubble with Dermot's brother and his wife.
Lovely.
And we live in West Donegal, and we could travel over to East Donegal, and we both sort of kept that bubble for each other, and it kept the music going. And that's fantastic.
In terms of deciding, you know, what Dermot can and can't do, like, Dermot can still drive and you say he still plays the music, and then you talk about his speech. Are you helped in terms of how to test for all of that? What's the right thing to do? What's not the right thing to do? Do you get where I'm coming from? Like, it It sounds like it's a minefield there.
It is a minefield. We did get advice too, like from the consultant in Dublin as well. The first thing was basically get your affairs in order, and that's a bit of a shocker as well. Yeah. But it was actually excellent advice, because you do have to deal with these things, you know. It's just, you'd prefer to be ready for it, but you do have to deal with it, and we managed to deal with that. The driving was a bit more complicated, because even negotiating that, where do you look? We weren't getting a lot of feedback, because you were phoning the licensing
and DSL, yeah.
And you were in all these various sort of avenues, and there were just phone lines, and due to COVID, and you were on these loops. And eventually we discovered that the Wheelchair Society in Letterkenny, they have a driver who will do disability driving test, and he'd had Dermot out on the road for 45 minutes around Letterkenny, and he's actually a safe driver. That just seems to have stayed.
Yeah.
Now that is something that'll be reviewed yearly.
Of course, understand.
But just the relief of knowing, because you don't want to be taking things away from people. Everything you lose is just something else that's gone.
Mary, do you feel a lot of pressure to be happy and healthy? Do you find yourself worrying, you're worried about Dermot, but you must be worried about yourself, that you can be the thankfully happy and healthy that you are now, that you can be that person. Does it worry you or scare you, or do you allow yourself to think, I think that's how I might feel, like what happens to me, what happens to Dermot if something happens to me? Does that worry you, or...
Well, that would be a concern, because I realise I'm the linchpin here holding everything together. And I've just recently been diagnosed with arrhythmia, which I've never had, and it's purely stress related. So I'm now on medication for that, which I'm a healthy person. And it's just purely, I'm like collateral damage. And, but I'm aware, and I would go, my GP's very good, and I would sort of discuss things, and I would be careful of minding my own health for both
but
of us.
But the stress and the pressure, it's taken its toll.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we wish you all the best, obviously, with that. So in terms of, obviously, full of praise for the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland and what they do, just talk to me again, because as you say, it was the motivation for you taking part in this. Talk to me about the gaps. Where are the gaps? And everyone's probably going to have a different experience, but from your experience, where are the gaps that we need to plug, Mary?
I suppose local care centres, I mean, everything does end up with, our public health nurses end up with everything, they're basically fix everything people. And, they're overloaded. There really should be maybe courses that nurses can do that will maybe specialise in dementia care and dementia treatment, and maybe give them an increment or a sort of an incentive to be involved in that. But I suppose too, COVID is complicated too. There were social clubs where you could go and chat to people, and now, but that has gone online again. And again, we take part in this Alzheimer's Social Club, which was set up by Patricia McMonigal. And again, it's a link. You're meeting other people in similar circumstances. Some of them will sing, some of them will play an instrument, some of them tell a joke. They're good fun, and everybody's comfortable because they're in company with people in a similar situation, and that makes such a difference.
And there's that true understanding, because people around you, with the best will in the world, and I'm sure they're amazing, if they're not living it, they just perhaps maybe can't empathize on the same level as someone who's got that actual lived shared experience with the best will in the world.
You have that instant empathy when you're talking to someone else in the same situation.
I just worry sometimes with things like this, when we have people like you, Mary, and now a full-time carer, when people like you do such a dedicated and brilliant job, does that mean that we don't focus on supporting you and training and rewarding people to maybe give you a break or to support you? You know what I mean? Do we say to ourselves, well, we can spend that money, or arguably maybe waste that money elsewhere, because strong Mary Toland there in the west of Donegal's doing all the heavy lifting for us,
Well, there would be an element of that, but nobody wants to be on this journey unless they have to, and we have been in the lucky position of having very strong family support and extended family support. So that's what we've been relying on. And I know the health services, they're swamped with everything. You know, there's so much going on, and everything's just, the funding's not there to spread. You know, and like having a dementia advisor now in Donegal is a major thing.
Yeah.
That's a major step forward.
So I think a couple of things that's important here, Mary, and you correct me as I go along, is persist. You know, trust yourself, trust your partner. If you believe that it's not what you're being told it is, proceed, because that's what you did and that's what you found out. Engage with the agencies, the groups that are there, because clearly that can be very, very helpful. And engage with the likes of the social clubs and stuff, because for some people that's a bit of a lump. You know, they might say, no, this is a problem we'll keep inside our own four walls. I wonder if that's how my mum and dad would have dealt with it. You know, if they would have said, no, this is a secret, it's private, you know, lock it in. Do you know what I'm on about? And what would the outcome have been there? Whereas, you know, engage with other people like-minded or like people in similar situations and stuff. And anything else you want to add, Mary?
Yeah, that generational thing too, like the previous generation, I suppose, our parents' generation, and that the association with any kind of perceived mental illness was seen as a kind of it was a stigma, or it was something you weren't going to be public about.
Hide it, put it under the carpet, yeah.
Yeah, even things like epilepsy was seen as something like you just don't talk about it, you know, and things now that are out in the open. But I think there's much more awareness now of dementia, and there are many more younger people been diagnosed, and people are becoming more aware of the fact that there are different types of dementia and they present differently. So there's no one thing fits all. There's like Dermot's presentation was not obviously Alzheimer's, and yet it was this particular form of Alzheimer's.
Well, the very best wishes to Dermot and yourself, Mary. He's obviously in very loving and caring and capable hands. I really appreciate it. It's been lovely speaking to you.
Well, thank you.
You give off some sort of an air. I don't know what it is, but you seem, and I'm sure you are, a lovely person, and I appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
All right. Take care of yourself. Okay.
Thank you.
Goodbye. That is Mary Toland there. Okay, next on the programme, we are joined by Dawn Thompson, Alzheimer's Society of Ireland Dementia Advisor for Donegal. Dawn, good morning to you and thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, now tell us about this new service.
Okay, Greg, well, this is a brand new service for County Donegal. It is a free and confidential service for people who live with dementia and their families. What we do, we provide information, support, advice, signposting to other services, both maybe dementia-specific and others in the community. People of any age with a diagnosis of dementia can link in with us, and we will interact with anybody regardless of the type of dementia they have. Another important point, Greg, would be to add that even if a person doesn't have a diagnosis and they have concerns, you know, about their memory, maybe not sure what's going on, we also welcome referrals from people who don't have a formal diagnosis.
And is this to, I suppose, you know, there is a lot of services out there, a lot of people out there. It's about connecting them, is it?
Absolutely, Greg, yeah. And I think, you know, as you say, and rightly so, there's a lot of great work going on out there. But sometimes for the person with the diagnosis or their primary caregiver, be it a family member or friend or whoever, it can be difficult to join up the dots. And I suppose linking in to the Dementia Advisor Service is, you know, it's a good way of sort of tying everything together and sort of getting that coordinated approach.
Yeah, and I think it reaches people too that not feel embarrassed about engaging with services, but say,
absolutely,
is that for me? Is it what we need? How will that benefit me? Mm-hmm. Well, here's the information to say, yes, it is for you. And this is how we can help and benefit you. This is the directions we can point you in. This is the support we can offer.
Absolutely. And, you know, it can take the form, you know, not everybody is comfortable maybe approaching services, you know, so it is as formal or as informal as people want it to be. You know, people can be referred into the service via a healthcare professional like their GP, public health nurse, members of the mental health service for older people. But likewise, we welcome referrals as well from, you know, from direct family members or people with dementia themselves. and they can just, that's a simple phone call. They can email me, maybe if they prefer that, you know, rather than just, it can be difficult just to take that first step, or they can text me and I can always get back to them. But we really do want to stress, we are here for people, you know, don't be alone in your diagnosis, don't be alone in your caring role, and, you know, we will talk to you and we will work out a plan going forward. And some people may just have one question they need answered. Other people may not be sure how to progress.
Yes.
And just want that advice, you know, as to what is available to them. Yeah, so really, whatever the issue, you know, we will talk to anyone.
And don't try and filter it out yourself as an individual. Engage and find out what's there, what help can be. It's a completely judge-free zone, and you and your team are there to help. That's your primary role.
Yeah, that's the message we really want to get out there, that we are here to help. You know, we want to reduce the stigma. That's very easy to say, you know, but, you know, we want people to feel comfortable coming to us.
And in relation to that stigma, Dawn, people may be aware or have realised that there's a push on here to discuss dementia, to understand it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's important we do so, don't we? And because, and understand who it affects, because we might have this thing in our head, what dementia is, and maybe even an age demographic that it might affect. We need to open our minds and have a better understanding of it, don't we?
We do. We really need to stand back from it, you know, and look at it as it actually exists at the moment. I mean, you mentioned there about an age demographic. You know, for example, many people may not be aware that we have around 4,000 people in Ireland under the age of 65 living with a diagnosis of dementia. You know, so that's just a fact that maybe not everybody is aware of. And so we really need to look at, you know, the lived experience for people, you know, not just from an academic or from a medical perspective, but you know, people's actual experiences, you know, and evidence does show that the earlier people interact with services, you know, the earlier into their journey with dementia, the better the outcomes. Now that can be difficult, but you know, for whatever reason, maybe people don't come forward for testing, they might be a little bit apprehensive,
or even engaging with services is finally accepting something that they already know. It can be for any reason, and you talk about the importance of sort of engaging early, but it's never too late, is it?
It's never too late, and I really would like to stress that as well, Greg. You know, we will speak to people at any stage, you know, of their journey with dementia, and that's very important as well, even for family carers. So much falls onto family carers, as we know, whatever the condition. But even if a loved one has progressed into long-term care, for example, and hopefully their needs are being met, you know, in a different way, we're still here for the family carers, you know, and that I can't sort of overemphasize the impact of having emotional support at the end of the phone as well.
Yeah.
And while we're not a personal advocacy or counseling service, you know, we do recognize maybe when there's a need for those services, and we can signpost them accordingly.
Yeah, I might talk about the services a little bit more, but in a way, that first phone call is a form of counseling for a lot of people. But we'll talk about some of the services that are out there in a moment. But also there's plenty of information there as well about, actually, before I get to that, because you mentioned an important point here, you mentioned something and it put something in my mind. When someone gets a diagnosis, it is not just often an individual, is it? It is the people around them. It is the whole family or
that's
a partner.
Right. Yeah. That's right. And, you know, we often hear, you know, people quote things like, for every person with a diagnosis, you know, with a diagnosis of dementia, there might be at least three other people affected in some way, shape or form, you know. And I suppose that's what the Dementia Advisor Service is all about, you know, providing support to the person with the dementia, but also to the family carer or whoever the primary caregiver might be.
Okay, so give us some examples then of what services are out there. Presumably it can be, you know, very, very medical or counselling, or else it could be some simple supports in terms of how someone can have as full a life as is possible.
That's right. Well, we have, you know, we can give people, we have a wealth of information which is updated regularly and reviewed on a regular basis, you know, in the form of fact sheets and publications which we can have sent out to people from our national office. We also would signpost people, you know, maybe to the mental health service for older people or psychiatry of old age teams if they haven't already been seen. Some people may just need signposting to their local public health nurse for whatever reason they may not have engaged. You know, so it can take the form of anything. Also important at this stage to stress as well, Greg, that there are so many community supports out there now at the moment. You know, family resource centres, the social prescribing team, for example.
The CAFs are a great, they're a great initiative too.
These are all extra supports, you know, who welcome everyone. And it's, you know, that, particularly maybe for family caregivers, you know. So there's a lot of different supports, and then the dementia specific supports, you know, it could take the form of home care or day services, which are remain closed at the moment, but at local level here, I know the team worked very hard to put in what they called daycare at home, and that would have been for people who heretofore would have attended a day service, and due to COVID maybe that service closed down, so they just turned that around, and the carers then would have visited people in their own homes and, you know, provided stimulating activities and companionship and that. So that's kind of at local level. We also would have had our Alzheimer's cafes and social clubs, which unfortunately remain closed. Now, they will open on a face-to-face basis again. We're just not sure yet when that will happen. Those services have actually gone online. And so we have our online cafe happening once a month. On the last Monday of the month, and we have our online social club here in Donegal happening every second Tuesday, and people can either contact me or the office in Donegal Town if they want to link in with any of those online services. It's not for everyone, Greg, but you know, people maybe should give it a go and see. You know, they might benefit or they might pick up something from it.
And I think that's, Dawn, a lot of what we're talking about here. Someone doesn't have to contact you and go into everything 100%. It can be whatever they're comfortable with. Dawn, just more broadly, do you think we have to, as a society, especially with an ageing population, though we talked about Alzheimer's affecting people of a younger age as well, do we have to change our language, our understanding, how we converse about this, do you think? Is there a bit of work to be done there? Maybe that's what we're doing right now.
I think, there is a bit of work. And, you know, it is great, probably for the first time ever, you know, dementia is really coming under the spotlight and very much so at local level as well. There's a great appetite there for people to work together. You know, we have, for example, the integrated care program happening here in Donegal, and that is made up of healthcare professionals being led by Sharon Richardson. And, you know, we're looking at establishing services in an integrated manner, you know, supporting people to live well at home, signposting people to the right service at the right time. So now that's a work in development, and maybe we'll come back at a later date when you know, more development has taken place and speak about that. But I think it's very heartening that, you know, there is that appetite there to shine the light on dementia at local level here in Donegal, you know.
Inroads are being made.
Inroads are definitely being made. Is there work to be done? Of course there is. You know, things are not perfect, but, you know, there is that sort of integrated approach now, which is really very important.
And the support you offer as well, and you may have touched on this, but I think it's important to emphasise, you know, it's not just clinical, it's emotional. There's an understanding by those working within the services that this is, you know, there's practical elements to it, though, but there's also sometimes the intangible, or isn't there, how people feel, how they are coping.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, like that, as I say, when somebody links in with my service, for example, you know, they may just want very practical information in the first instance, but it's great to be able to reassure people that they can link in with me at any time. It's an ongoing service. We don't discharge. So, you know, people can link in just as much or as little as they want. And then I have an understanding that I also would do follow-up calls, yeah. you know, with clients, you know, on a regular basis as well, if that is what they want. And just maybe as well, Greg, to highlight here, we also have the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland's helpline, mm-hmm. and that's another free and confidential service which people can contact, and it's 1-800-341-341, and that helpline operates from 9 to 5 Monday to Friday and from 10 to 4 on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Now, just in terms of accessing local services, you know, what is the best way for people to, they've listened to this, they think, yes, I think there's that, you know, there's something in that for me. Yeah. How do they engage? You talked about referral, but just in the last couple of moments, talk to, yeah. to me about how people sort of go, right, I liked what Dawn has to say, I want some of that, but what do I do next?
Yeah, well, people can actually contact me directly, Greg, mm-hmm. and as much as I get a lot of referrals from our counterparts in the HSE, I also do get a lot of direct family and self-referrals. So I don't know if you want me to give my number at this stage.
Yes, and we'll retain it here and we can
Absolutely.
Pass it on.
Yeah, so it is 087-380-2957. Mm-hmm. And if I don't pick up immediately, if people just leave a message and I'll get back to them as soon as I can. Likewise, they can just send me a text and I'll contact them, you know, or people can email me and it's Dawn, D-A-W-N, dot Thompson with a P, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N. At alzheimer.ie.
Okay, Dawn, listen, a lot of information in there and hopefully it's reaching the right people. We'll speak again, of course, Dawn, in the future. But for now, thank you very much for joining us
thank
on the programme.
Thank you, Greg.
Okay, that's Dawn Thompson there, Alzheimer's Society of Ireland Dementia Advisor for Donegal. Now, we've been having this conversation as part of a project, Dementia Understand Together, and there are many things we can do as individuals and communities to support people and families who are living with dementia, including see the person, not the dementia, talk about it, ask how you can help, stay in touch, support the person to keep up hobbies and interests, make sure your service or space is easy to use. And here's Fionnuala with some more from the HSE.
We all understand the importance of social interaction, being with each other, connecting and sharing experiences, now more than ever. But did you know social interaction plays a key role in helping people who are living with dementia? It's healthy, like exercise for the brain, and it supports well-being, which has positive benefits for the person. Staying socially engaged with friends and family has also been shown to boost self-esteem. A dementia-inclusive community enables people who are living with dementia to do just that, to live. Whether that's staying connected to or joining a club, taking up a hobby or visiting their local shop. Being with each other to talk and share experiences nurtures the soul and gives a sense of belonging. You can be that connection. For more information and support, free phone 1-800-341-341 or visit understandtogether.ie. From the HSE in partnership with the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland and Age Friendly Ireland.